Tonight I want to bring a very brief and simple message from God's Word. And I want you to turn with me to the 10th chapter of Luke. 10th chapter of Luke. This is the most simple message that I believe that God uses. Simple message. D.L. Moody once said, put the cookies on the lowest shelf and everybody can reach them. And if you read the messages of D.L. Moody, you'll find that they're so simple, you wonder how God could ever use them. And that is the secret of all evangelism. Is, you know what they tell us? They say that the average person in the congregation has the mind and the spiritual mentality of a 12-year-old. Did you know that? That includes me, too, when I sit in the congregation and all the preachers. That's everybody averaged up has the spiritual mentality of a 12-year-old. And one of the hardest things in the world for a preacher to do is to be simple. And I think that one of the secrets of all preaching and teaching is simplicity. I believe that with all my heart. I think we had enough of big words and four and five syllable words that nobody understands in psychology and philosophical terms that get everybody confused and mixed up, because the scripture says that the common people heard him gladly. And Jesus talked very simply and used simple everyday language in talking with the people of his day. And so tonight, I want to bring a very simple message from God's Word. The 10th chapter of Mark, a wonderful incident in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust you'll bear with me with a very sore throat tonight. And they came to 46 verse, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed in the way. About 2 years ago, I met for the first time Dr. Walter Kallenbach, the great blind evangelist. Dr. Kallenbach was killed just about a year ago in a motor car accident, as most of you know. Dr. Kallenbach related his experience of how he became blind in a hunting accident down in Virginia. He was down hunting deer when a gun exploded and shot his eyes out. He was practically an atheist, a PhD, an atheist when his eyes were shot and when he was made totally blind. And he said that when his eyes were made totally blind, he said within a few days, God opened his spiritual eyes. And he said, I thanked God a million times that God allowed my physical eyes to be blinded, because my spiritual eyes were open when I became blind physically. And he said God had done everything in the world to get me to Christ. And he said that day that the gun exploded, I knew that God was speaking to my soul. And he said within a few days, I came to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Just the other day, I saw a blind convention down here at the Alexandria Hotel in Los Angeles. They had a number of blind people. I noticed that each of them had a cane, a white cane. Many of them had dogs. Several of them had people directing them about. And I thought to myself how horrible it would be to go through life blind. Never be able to see the beauties of a flower. Never to be able to see the beauty of a mother's face. Never to be able to see an ocean's wave. Never to be able to see the grandeur of mountains. Never be able to see it all, but just be blind. Blind, blind. I wonder if you've ever put a handkerchief around your eyes and kept them closed, and then tried to walk down the street and imagine what it would be to spend the rest of your days in total blindness. I think one of the worst things that could happen to a person is to be physically blind. Well, that's exactly the story we find in this 10th chapter of Mark tonight. You know, of all the chapters in the Bible, I think my choice is the 10th chapter of Mark. It's a wonderful chapter. I want you to read it when you go home tonight. You'll find in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus starts toward Jerusalem. And when he starts toward Jerusalem, he's starting toward Calvary. And every step of the way, the shadow of the cross hangs in the way. Jesus is on his way to die. Now, always remember that Jesus never came to be born. Jesus came to die. We make a great deal about Christmas. We give our gifts one to the other, and we have Santa Claus, and we have commercialized Christmas until the whole world today is celebrating Christmas because it's good for business to have Christmas, and the businessmen keep Christmas going. But Jesus never came to be born. That was not the emphasis of the coming of Jesus Christ. The emphasis of the coming of Christ was that Jesus came to die and to seek and to save that which is lost. Tomorrow night I'll talk on that subject, why he came. But tonight, I want you to get that Jesus was on his way to the cross, on his way to die, on his way to pay his life for the redemption of every one of us tonight. And I want you to see, as he's on his way, Jesus is teaching in the way. They come to him and ask him about divorce that I'm going to talk on Friday night. And they get his opinion, and they get his teaching on divorce and marriage. And then we find that the little children are forbidden to come to him. And he says, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And we find that beautiful little story of Jesus taking time out on his way to die to spend time with children. How like Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior he is. What a wonderful person, the greatest of all teachers, the greatest of all educators, the greatest of all philosophers, never wrote a book, never wrote a sermon, but Jesus, the greatest of all, and Jesus, the Savior of the world, stopping long enough on the way to Calvary to talk to little children. How simple and how wonderful he was, how tremendous he was, and how humble he was, always doing the will of God. And then we find the story of the rich young ruler, this wonderful young man who came to Jesus Christ with his spiritual problems. This wonderful young man that came with all of his burdens and problems to Christ, and Christ gave him an answer to all the problems that he brought to Christ. This young ruler went away sorrowfully because he had great possessions. And then Jesus tells how hard it is for a rich man to get to heaven. And you'll notice in that passage of Scripture, it says, those that trust in riches. Jesus never said it was wrong to be rich. But he said, those that trust in riches, and the love of money is the root of all evil. And there are thousands of people today that are trusting in riches. And the Bible says, for those that are trusting in riches, it's harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for those to go to heaven. And then you remember, we find that John and James come to him and they say, now Jesus, you're coming into your kingdom pretty soon, and we want to sit on the right and on the left. And he said, those that are going to be first in the kingdom must become least. And so forth, we find his teaching. And then this wonderful incident that happened in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ as he was on his way to die. He met this blind man. I want you to see tonight, it was springtime in Palestine. It made no difference to Bartimaeus. As he got out of the stable that morning and shook the straw and the dirt off his clothes, the sun was just coming up over the eastern horizon, and Bartimaeus had been trying to sleep in the barn all night. And he got up and reached for his cane, and started out the door, and tap, 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 went his way down the street. And as he went down the street, I imagine that he begged some milk from a woman who was milking her goat. Or I imagine he got some crumbs that had been thrown out to dogs. He heard them cast the crumbs out to the dogs, and he scrambled with the dogs down in the ground trying to get a crust of bread. Then we find him tapping his way down to the gate of Jericho. And there he sits down in the old familiar place. And he pulls his coat up around him because the air is biting that time of year and early in the morning, and the passerbys begin to come by. And he sends up his plaintive plea, crying and begging for food and begging for money that he might keep body and soul together. And there he is, a pitiful and awful sight, and around him are other beggars that are begging in the way that day. And I want you to hear with him as he must have heard a donkey loaded with melons on the way to the market. Or I hear several women with pitchers of water on their heads as they pass by. Soft-footed camels that are swaying underneath the load of Arab spices. An ass laden with fish for the market. A group of soldiers, young and proud, as they march by. School children with their whistles and shrill talking and laughing on their way to school that morning. And Bartimaeus is sitting there in all his filth and all of his dirt, blind and helpless in that awful condition, begging and crying for a cup of bread or for some fish that he might go and buy something to keep body and soul, but nobody needs to play to cry that day. I want you to get a picture. First of all, I want you to see that he's blind. We've already said how awful it is to be blind. But did you know tonight that there are scores of people sitting before me that are in worse condition? Did you know that there are scores of people here tonight that are blinded? The scripture says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. In other words, God says that the God of this world, which is Satan, the devil, has blinded the eyes of the people of this world. And the scripture says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And Jesus said this, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And from these passages of scripture, we see tonight that we are spiritually blind. And tonight, Jesus says, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of Pharisees, and you can see better than they can see, he says you'll never get to heaven. In other words, these Pharisees and scribes were leading people around. They were teaching people. They were the professors. They were the teachers. They were the scribes. They were the preachers and all the rest. But Jesus said they too are blind. And in the third chapter of Romans, we find that they were blind leaders of the blind. And how many people tonight we have on our church rolls, how many people that go to Sunday school, how many people are working for the kingdom of God that are spiritually blind. The devil has us blindfolded tonight. And we cannot see our poverty, we cannot see our condition, and we cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So many people come to me and they say, well, I don't feel anything. Of course you don't feel anything till you come to Christ. How can you feel something you do not have? And other people say, well, I don't see, I don't understand. Of course you can't understand till you come to Jesus Christ, because these things are spiritually discerned. People come to me and they say, I don't understand the Bible. Of course you can't. These things are spiritually discerned. People come to me and they say, well, I don't understand all these theological things. Of course you don't, because you're spiritually blind, and you'll never have your eyes open till by faith you let Jesus Christ come into your heart and the Spirit of God illuminates your mind, and then you say, oh, I see. Whereas once I was blind, now I see. What made the difference? He had faith in Jesus Christ. And I tell you tonight, some of you are struggling with intellectual doubts. You're struggling with intellectual problems. And the reason is you've never come by faith to Jesus Christ. Jesus said you have to become as little children. Jesus said you have to humble yourself and you have to stoop down in humility and repentance of sin before you'll ever come to the kingdom of God. I've seen a lot of people try to be saved. And they come forward chewing their chewing gum with a great big smile and giggling and walking down the aisle and see some of them with their shoulders rad back as if they were doing God a great big favor. They'll never get to the kingdom of God that way. The scripture says they have to come as little children. They have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And then all of these problems clear up. A young man came to me the other night and he said, I have so many problems. I said, come to Jesus Christ, then we'll talk about them. That young fellow came to Jesus Christ very simply, and then I said, what are your problems? He said, well, I really don't have any problems. He said, they're all solved. I said, of course, Christ is solved. I said, you were blind. The devil has made you blind, but I said, now Christ has made you to see. And I said, all these problems will disappear. Then the next thing I want you to notice about this fellow, he was very poor. Only the poorest of the poor had to beg for an existence. And he begged day after day, and he was getting just enough to keep body and soul together. You say, well, I have clothes, and I have food, and I have shelter, and I have a little bank account, and I have a little insurance, and I have a little retirement fund, and everything's all fixed, and I'm secure. Brother, you're not secure. The Bible says you're the poorest of the poorest if you're outside of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, lay not up treasures here where the moth doth corrupt and rust, but lay up treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, there is your heart. And God said over in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, I want to read it to you. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee, I'll spit you out of my mouth, says God. And because thou sayest, I'm rich. Oh, yes, we're rich. Boy, look at our big steeples. Look at our stained glass windows. Look at our clothes. Why, we have a living standard here in America that cannot be compared with anything in all of history or anything in all the world. I've traveled in the various countries of the world, and there's no place in all the world where people have the living standard we have. And the people here in America are complaining more and crying out more and thinking they're having a harder time than any people that I've ever met anywhere else in the world. I talked to a fellow the other day. He said, well, I'm down to my last 5,000 now. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, brother, that's more than a Chinese family would make in 3 generations. I said, that's more than the average Britisher would make in 3 years. And he said, he's down to his last 5,000. He was in terrible condition, and he was so worried he didn't know what to do. And we here in America are complaining more about what we don't have when we have more than any nation and any people that have ever been blessed of God. I'll tell you, God is in this love. And God says that his goodness drives us to repentance. And if it doesn't drive us to repentance in this country, God have mercy upon us. Because God has done more to bless this nation and to bring this nation to a place of repentance than any nation that ever existed in the history of the world. You know how much an Italian makes? An Italian makes 1/4 the average American. Do you know what an Englishman makes? An Englishman makes 1/3 that which the American makes. Do you know what a Chinese makes? A Chinese makes 1/100 of what the average American makes. We are the most blessed nation in all the world today. And thanks be unto God, we say we're rich. Yes, we're rich, but listen. Thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not, listen, and knowest not, America, and knowest not, sinner, that thou art rich and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the way we look to God. God sees us a little different light. You see, you come with your $100 suit on, and you walk down the aisle, and everybody says, oh, boy, there's a rich man. And we've got our diamonds on our fingers, and we're all dressed up, and we drive our big automobiles, and everything is wonderful. And everybody says, well, we're a wonderful nation. We're rich. And God says that you're poor and naked and blind and miserable. God sees us all alike. God puts the Chinese right beside the American, and the American right beside the African, and puts us all together. And the scripture says, God is no respecter of persons. Because your name goes back to the Mayflower, brother, doesn't give you any license with God. And because your name goes back into England somewhere, or to Germany somewhere, doesn't mean that you have any special privilege with God. We're all alike in God's sight. God is no respecter of persons. Rich or poor, black or white, makes no difference in the sight of God. We're all just alike. An army doctor told me the other day that when the major came in and the buck private came in and stripped off their clothes, he said, brother, they look just alike. He said, there's no difference. And tonight, God says we're naked before him, didn't he? I just read it. God says you're naked before God. You're stripped of your money, and you're stripped of your clothes, and you're stripped of your prestige, and you're stripped of your big name, and you stand naked before Almighty God, and he says you're naked tonight, and blind, and miserable. And you know why you can't see your condition? Because the devil's got you blind. That's the reason you can't see your filth and your misery and your poverty tonight, because Satan has us blinded. Not only was he poor, but he was helpless and hopeless. And that's your condition tonight. There's not one thing you can do about it either. You're blind. And you're poor. And you can't help yourself. There's nothing under heaven you can do. You can go to church till doomsday and not help yourself. You can read the Bible till doomsday and not help yourself. You can pray and pray and pray and not help yourself, because the Scripture says you're dead. Dead in trespasses and in sin. The Scripture says in the second of Ephesians. Then in Romans, the third chapter, I want to read to you what God says about you. What God says about us all. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, I thought there's a few good people. No, God says there's not any. There's none that understandeth. Well, I thought, no, God says you don't understand. But I'm a professor here. God says you don't understand a thing because you're blinded for the devil. But I've got my peers. That doesn't make any difference. God says there's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. You mean there's nobody? No, nobody's seeking after God. But what about all those people that are crying? It makes no difference. God says there's nobody seeking after God because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Man cannot understand. Man is dead in his trespasses and in sin. And I never saw a corpse seeking after anything. They're dead tonight. Go out here to the morgue tonight and see those cold stiffs in there. Well, we've got some spiritual cold stiffs right here tonight. Dead in trespasses and in sin. We'll never have life till God brings in them the life of God. They're all gone out of the way. You mean nobody's on the right way? No, nobody except those in Christ. You mean everybody's wrong? The whole world's wrong. The whole world is wrong except those that are in Jesus Christ. The only cloud that's on the right path are those that are in Christ. Nobody else. The rest of the world is wrong and going down the broad road that leadeth to destruction. Oh, yes, it's well lighted. Got a lot of glamour and got a lot of tinsel and got a lot of things that dazzle and sparkle. Got a lot of splendor and big mansions along the way. And they have a good time. A lot of nightclubs along the way. All the rest of it. It's a wonderful way, but it leads to destruction. And tonight we're blind and poor and miserable and on the wrong road, God says. Now listen, there's none that doeth good. No, you don't mean no, nobody does good, God says. You mean there's nothing that I do that's good? Not in God's sight. He says all the good works you do is filled to right. Brother, there's no use you giving to charity and trying to get some prestige with God. You'll never get it until you come to Christ, and then you get it. There's no use you giving to the poor until you come to Jesus Christ. God doesn't count that. It's filthy rags in his sight. But after you come to Christ, it's a sin not to give to the poor. And then when it comes to church, it's no use you going to church and trying to get up on Sunday morning. Might as well stay in on Sunday morning and read the newspaper and listen to the radio and all the rest of it. Doesn't do you any good as far as God is concerned. But God says there's none that doeth good. Not one. And our goodness is filthy rags in his sight. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Now God's going to look down our throat. That's where a doctor always looks first. He says yours is an open sepulchre. You ever go around an open sepulchre? What God says about it. And their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of anus is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace that they're not known, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, and so forth, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now listen. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, you can keep the whole law. Keep every commandment, every day of the year, every year of your life. Listen. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in God's sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, God says tonight in his word, you can keep the whole law and never be saved. You can live a perfect life and never be saved. Go to church all the time, never be saved. Because God says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will ever be justified in his sight. But he does tell us, thanks be unto God, how we can be justified. But now, the righteousness of God without the law. Thanks be unto God, not a law that I have to do. I don't have to keep any law now. That law has been fulfilled in Christ. It's manifested being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says we're all sinners tonight. And you keep the whole law and you're all saved. That includes you and you and you and you and me. Every one of us are sinners in the sight of God tonight. Now, that was the condition of the poor blind man. There he sat there, blind, hopeless, helpless, dead in his sins, poverty-stricken, by the gate of Jericho that morning. No hope! He had no hope that he would ever be better. He tried all the doctors in town. He tried everything else, but there was no hope. A man can endure anything if he has hope. But there's no hope in that fellow's case. He didn't have any hope. He had no friends. He had no relatives. He had no rich people. He had no doctors. He had nothing. There was no hope. He was going to spend the rest of his life blind. And you know that's what God says about hell? He says it's a place of no hope. Now, I don't know what kind of place hell is exactly. I'll discuss that one of these nights, but this, God says there's no hope. Never get out. Never get out. If you walk out here on the street tonight and you get run over by an automobile or drop dead of a heart attack and you go out just like this, your last hope is gone. Because God says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation right now. But I want you to see this blind man as he sat there that morning in all of his misery and all the cold that morning as he sat there begging with his outstretched arms for a little bit of those that were passing by. Somebody a few months ago had come up and told him about a stranger. A stranger that could make the blind to see, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk, and the dead to rise. Told him about a wonderful man down on the other side of Galilee who was doing all these wonderful things. And blind Bartimaeus' hope had sort of risen for a moment, and then it had gone down with an awful crash. Because this stranger down there that they called Jesus of Nazareth would never come to Jericho because Jericho was such a small city. And if he did come to Jericho, he'd never pay any attention to a small blind beggar. Why, he'd be with the rulers and the rich people. He'd be with the scribes and Pharisees and Herodians. He'd never come and pay any attention to me. Bartimaeus, you're wrong. You're wrong, Bartimaeus. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He sees the sparrow fall, and he's interested in you. And he has his eyes on you tonight, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, in spite of your poverty, in spite of your blindness, in spite of your helpless, hopeless condition, Jesus loves you and has his eyes fixed upon you. And he has a design and a plan for your life, and he wants to save your soul, and he sees the sparrow fall, and he wants to help you, Bartimaeus. So that morning, he heard the shuffle of many feet down the street. Many hundreds of people were coming his way, and boys came by crying with their shrill laughter preceding the cry. And Bartimaeus said, "Who is that? Who's coming? What's coming? What's coming? What's coming?" Nobody answered. They were all busy passing by, and the crowd was just passing by when in desperation, Bartimaeus reached out and grabbed the skirt of a passerby, and he said, "Tell me, who's coming by? Who is that?" That passerby chirped away. But just as he did, he yelled over his shoulder, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." I want you to notice something. Bartimaeus would have never been saved, and Bartimaeus would have never had his eyes open had it not been for that unnamed stranger that day that gave him the message, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." And there are thousands of people in this city that need somebody to come and tell them that in this old tent meeting down here, Jesus is passing by. They're blind and poor and hungry and needy and helpless and hopeless, and they don't see their condition, and they need somebody to come and tell them that down at the tent meeting, souls are being saved. They can hear the gospel, and Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And you know what I believe? I believe when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ that unknown stranger will get a great reward from the hands of the Master because he delivered a message to the blind man that Jesus was passing by. And I believe with all my soul that you go out into the streets and highways and byways and fill your car up at night. It's inconvenient. You have to go out early and you have to go a long distance and it takes gas and it takes a lot of extra stuff to call on the telephone and all the rest of it, but I believe God has a reward for everybody that'll get out and work and work and work during these next nights to tell Los Angeles that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. We need to do it. There are a lot of blind people in this city that are going to remain blinded unless they hear and see Jesus. And so blind Bartimaeus sat there. And he said to himself, as he sat there, where have I heard that name? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus. Oh, that's the man I heard about that could make the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And blind Bartimaeus knew that this was his last chance. And so he cried out with all that was in him. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me. And somebody slapped him across the mouth and said, be quiet, Bartimaeus. He doesn't want to hear a blind beggar. Why, Bartimaeus, he's not interested in you. The magistrates and the rulers will throw us in prison if you start yelling out like that. Be quiet. And the more they slapped him, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Please, Jesus. And he cried out in desperation in spite of what others were saying round about. And then they took a cudgel and hit him over the head. One fella clanked it over his mouth, and he took his hand and pushed it away and cried out again, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. I want you to see that he cried for the right thing. He cried for mercy. Brother, that's what you need tonight. You don't want justice tonight. You want mercy. Because you're a sinner and you're lost and you're on the road to hell. And the wages of sin is death. And we deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. But God is a merciful God. A long-suffering God. A God of tender compassion. A God of tremendous capacity to love beyond any understanding of man. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And remember tonight, God is a God of judgment. And God is an angry God. And God is a God of holy wrath. And God is a God of holiness. But at the same time, blessed be unto God, he's a God of love and mercy. And his mercy endureth forever. And is extended toward any man, a woman, a boy, a girl here tonight. The mercy of God. Yes, he cried to the right person. He cried for the right thing. And he cried at the right time. Jesus was passing by. Oh, yes, I imagine he thought to himself, well, I think that I'll just wait and see what the rulers have to say about him before I cry. No, he didn't do that. Well, I think that I'll wait till a more convenient season. No, he didn't do that. Maybe Jesus will come back to Jericho again and I'll get to see him. No, he didn't do that. He didn't wait. He cried right then when he had his one chance. And God says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And some of you are sitting here, you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you're born again, not sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Listen, Jesus is passing by tonight. Right here tonight, Jesus is passing by. The Jesus of mercy, the Jesus of love, the Jesus that can save you from sin, the Jesus that can give you victory, the Jesus that can open your eyes, the Jesus that can supply your needs and solve your problems and lift your burdens, that Jesus is passing by tonight, and I beg of you and I warn you and I entreat you to cry out tonight while there's yet time. Jesus may never pass this way again for you. And did you know that Jesus never came to your door? Never. If Bartimaeus hadn't cried out then, he'd have never been saved. Never had his eyes open. But he took his one opportunity, and he cried out to God. And you know what the scripture says? A wonderful thing. It says that Jesus stood still. Isn't that wonderful? Going to die in a couple days. On his way to die, he stopped. But he stood still when he heard a blind man and a beggar man. Isn't that like Jesus? And tonight, let me tell you, he'll stop making worlds long enough to reach down and save you tonight if you'll cry to him. He'll stop throwing planets out into space. He'll stop running the universe long enough to answer your prayer tonight and to cleanse you from sin and to open your eyes and to save your soul and to guarantee that when you die, you'll go to heaven. He stood still that day. I like that. And then the scripture says that Jesus commanded the rulers to call him. What, call me? Oh, blind, poverty-stricken Bartimaeus, well, nobody's ever called me before. Everybody kicks me out of the way. Everybody swears at me and curses me, but nobody's ever called for me before. Somebody came over and said, be of good comfort, Bartimaeus. The master called. And they put a cloak about him, but Bartimaeus was so thrilled and so excited, he threw off his cloak and threw his chain away and ran to Jesus. Listen tonight, Jesus calls. He's passing.
And tonight, he stops right here in this tent long enough to save you. And he's calling for you. He's saying, Jim, Bill, Mary, John, come here. Whosoever will, let him come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. He's passing by tonight and he's standing still right here long enough to reach down and get you for Christ. Yes, Jesus is passing by. And he stops and he looks at you and look at those eyes. They penetrate to the depths of your soul. And their eyes that read every bit of your conscience and the inmost depths of your being and penetrate right down the way you live. And yet in those eyes are tenderness and love and mercy. And what a thing. Gentle, sweet, kind, gracious, wonderful face of Jesus as he stood there in all his tremendous power as the Son of Almighty God, the one that had made the world, the one that flung them out into space from flaming fingertips, the one that holds them there with the power of his omnipotent hand, the one that had scooped the valleys and built the mountains and put the leaves on the trees, the one that had made the ocean waves, and the one that had made the world, stood still in all the tremendous power of the Son of God long enough to hear a poor blind beggar from Skid Row cry to him and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. He calleth him. Bartimaeus ran to him. And then Jesus asked a wonderful thing. What wilt thou that I do to thee? Ah, tonight, what do you want Jesus to do? He said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I'll do anything you want, Bartimaeus. Need a hotel room? Need some money? Need some food? Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you tonight? Bartimaeus cried back to the Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the whole passage of Scripture is bound up in that word Lord, because that Greek word means my very own Lord and mine. That was a word of faith in him as the Son of God. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want him to do for you tonight, sister? What do you want him to do for you, sir, tonight? What do you want him to do for you, sir, tonight? What do you want, sir? What do you want, dear lady? What do you want, love, young lady? What do you want, a kind Christian tongue? You want to be sweet and gracious and hospitable? Do you want to be kind? Do you want to have control over those evil habits? Do you want to break that power of drink in your life? Do you want to break that power of dope in your life? Do you want to break those habits that are binding as chains and ropes and fetters tonight? Do you want that sin cleansed? Do you want those doubts taken away? Do you want him to touch that body of yours tonight? Do you want him to cleanse you from every sin and to guarantee that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? He says, Jim, Bill, Susie, Mary, whatever you ask, I'm here to do it tonight. I'm passing by and he's standing still right here tonight, wanting to do what you want him to do. Lord, that I might receive my sight. He needed to see, receive his sight more than he did a hotel room, more than he needed food, more than anything else in the world. He needed sight. And the thing that you need tonight more than anything else in the world is spiritual sight. You need to see Jesus tonight. And then you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. Thy church membership hath made thee whole. No. Go thy way, thy baptism has made thee whole. No. Go thy way, thy money hath made thee whole. No. Go thy way, something else has made thee whole. No. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I'm glad Jesus put it on that basis. If he'd have said work, the sick and the lame and the halt and the maimed would have been left out. If he'd have said money, the poor would have been left out. If he'd have said the Americans, the Africans would have been left out. No, Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. And did you ever think about it? A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. A dumb man can believe. A black man can believe. A yellow man can believe. A red man can believe. A white man can believe. Educated man can believe. Uneducated man can believe. Man of high social standing can believe. A man of low social standing can believe. All can believe. And that's all God said. Yes, Jesus said. Anybody and everybody can believe. the little boy can believe, the little girl, the dad, the mother, the sister, all can believe. And Jesus said, thy faith has saved thee. Hope. And that's all they have to do to be saved. And you know why some people are not being saved? It's so simple. All you have to do, right where you sit tonight, to know that you're going to heaven, is to believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's all.